Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is Season 5, Episode 13. And this week, it has been real tough to be a Rambler fan. And it has been real tough to be a podcast content creator, too. Especially a podcast content creator of Loyola Basketball. So we will be talking about two games this week. We'll be talking about the loss at home to George Washington and the loss on the road at Davidson. You might be wondering, hey, why aren't you posting on Monday? Well, or Tuesday? Well, the reason is because our audio file was bad. So we recorded a whole episode and unfortunately could not post any of it. And we are now recording again. So I guess it's like we had a turnover as well. And, you know, just add it to the pile because Loyola had a million turnovers. So I don't know. They must be rubbing off on us a little bit. Lou, how's it going? Like I said, it's a great week to be a Rambler fan, right?
Yeah, I'll admit, I did. I'm the one who kind of fumbled, or as we say, turned it over. So it was like, oh, that was a kind of a punch to the gut. And then watching this game was another punch to the gut. So a tough week for sure. Both even you were at the women's game tonight. Not eventful for one team, but not enjoyable, I guess, is the way to say it. But it's a tough one because I think ultimately, I wrote in the preview, this team, I've said there's so many wake-up calls you can say, and I think I'm done saying this is a wake-up call because I think no one's answering the call. I think it's a tough one. But I think in the other gut-wrenching thing is the reality is this team is talented. And there we saw things of that both in the George Washington game and the Davidson game. And those are great highlights. It's just tough that the results are not what we would expect.
No, they were not. They have been real rough, and it hasn't even really been super close. I mean, the George Washington game wasn't horrible, but we'll get into that. If you want to stay tuned and listen up to and commiserate with us a little bit about our Rambler basketball team, stay tuned. And don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Loyola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. Let's start with the George Washington game. Lots of pregame, not festivities, but just some hype, right? Like our first A-10 game, first A-10 home game. George Washington coming in was kind of in the same boat we were, somewhere in that middle category, that middle of the road A-10 team. They had a couple rough losses before us. I think they lost three in a row, actually, out in Hawaii. I believe they're in a tournament out there during the holidays. They had a couple injuries, a couple guys banged up. EJ Clark, in particular, was not going to play. Ricky Lindo had a head injury. I guess he must have not been serious because he was able to play. But we were coming off a tough loss to Stanford. Right, it was a disappointing game out there out west. But before that, we'd looked pretty competent and had some wins and maybe looked like we were turning some stuff around. So I think for both teams, this game was a bit of a pivot point for the teams to turn some stuff around. And unfortunately, it was not us that ended up turning it around. George Washington scored 97 points. In regulation. I did not go back to look up how long it's been since we've given up 97 points in regulation, but I'm pretty confident that it is at least like 5 or 6 years. I know we gave up over 100 to Northern Iowa once upon a time, but I believe that was in double overtime. It's been a bunch of years since we've given up this many points. James Bishop IV, who we wrote about coming into this game, being their top scorer. He was actually the top scorer in the, in the Valley, in the A-10, averaging over 20 points a game. James Bishop had 40 points. I personally need to make an apology. I believe that I pissed off James Bishop. He early in the game airballed three, had a really bad turnover, and I was yelling at him and being respectful, but you know, chanting airball and just like telling him that he was bad at turnovers or something. And we were sitting in the student section in the front row, which was great seating. I mean, it was front row to see him put up 40 points, which was interesting. But yeah, so then he gets a free throw line extended three-pointer, and I'm screaming at him as loud as I can, air ball, and he sinks it. And he didn't look at me, but he you know, it would be hard for him not to hear me.
Yeah, it would. And of course, some of our own staff did a quick turnaround and looked at you, which was kind of funny. But James Bishop definitely did not find it funny, I think. And I think he heard us because it's kind of an empty arena, which made sense. So, but it was pretty prevalent. I think he heard you.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's on me. I'm sorry to Rambler fans for causing a player to score 40 points on us. I should have known. I should have gotten out there and played defense. Maybe that would have helped because our Ramblers were not able to stop him. They weren't really able to stop anyone on Saturday. So, that's the headline, right? I mean, our offense did play well. I mean, that's something we'll get into a little bit. But having five guys in double digits, two players over 20 points, I mean, like, that's something to take and hopefully continue, or at least we were hoping at the time. But yeah, overall, just a really, really horrible, horrible night on defense. Lou, go ahead, take it from there.
Yeah, it's really tough when you see, again, bottom line, this team shot 51% from field goal, and that's really great. Like, terrific. Guys are able to score. Marquise Kennedy in this game, 23 points. Phil had 21. Again, Bryce Golden, 13 off the bench and 6 of 6. Like, efficiency as not just individuals, but collectively as a team, 51% is great. However, you can't just keep throwing punches and expecting to land one if you don't also try to protect. And there was no, I don't even think defense was in either of the team's agendas, especially in the second half. George Washington put up 64% from field goal. And 58% from three. So they were not afraid to, I guess, take it to our face, and they really did. James Bishop, hats off to him. He found kind of the hole in our defense, and they, not even just him, Lindo even, but they utilized it and took advantage of it. And Bishop called for a switch a lot of the times, did pretty much the same play, and it just was really like, try and stop me kind of mentality, and hats off to him. 40 points is a lot. Crazy to also think he had 7 assists. So he put 40 points, 7 assists. Let's say it's 2 points an assist. That's 14. 54 points he's associated with. That's more than half of our points. And that's more than half of their points. So, like, it's kind of crazy to think we couldn't figure out a schema to lock down one player. Now, again, it is definitely not a one-player team. Down low, at least Lindo was great from kind of what we thought would be an injury game. Not really too much, in my opinion. But, yeah, defense was just non-existent. It was tough to watch, especially we are very up close and personal with some of these guys. So watching this was really a tough one for sure. There's no way to also, like, not mention the offense, but it's so hard when the lack of defense just overshadows our really great productivity in the offense, Buck. I really think that's just it's honestly a sad thing because, like, how do you not tell your guys, great job on offense? Like, we put up 87 points. That's a great thing. It just then the whole other part of basketball is defending, and we just didn't do that job. Like, when we talk about our three key factors, I think generally in basketball it's two main factors, right? Offense and defense, and they're just completely one-sided, was just not there. I think, I don't know, Buck, like, do we think it's one player just went off on George Washington, or was it just a collective lack of defense? Because even, like, they turned the ball over 16 times, George Washington. I just don't think we took advantage of that maybe as much. I can't, because even us, we had 10 turnovers, so very low turnover night for us, so where do you think, was it just one player you feel, or was it just more than that?
I think it was mostly one player, but it was a game plan. Like, I think that was their, that's what they scouted. Like, I think they realized they found mismatches, and most often the mismatch was putting James Bishop against anyone, right? I mean, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more, like, man-on-man defense from, like, Marquise just taking James Bishop and saying, all right, he's my guy. Like, let me, like, stay on him on screens, like, try your best to just cover him one-on-one. I would have liked to see that, but instead, Bishop was switching to, I mean, just quite honestly, wanted Ben Schreiger on him or Phil Alston. I mean, I think Phil got a few possessions on him as well. And would just drive right past him, both of them. Those guys just weren't quick enough. I mean, Bishop is very, very good, right? This isn't us just saying that those guys are bad on defense. Bishop is an excellent offensive player, but we just let them do whatever they wanted, right? It wasn't like, hey, let's change some stuff up. I mean, they doubled him a couple times, and I thought it actually did work a couple times. It got him to turn the ball over. But more often than not, Loyola just said, okay, here's our defense. Like, we think we can beat you with our defense and our scheme. Go ahead and try. And George Washington said, bet. Like, yeah, okay. You're going to give us exactly what we scouted against and know we can beat? Like, sure. We'll run up the score. And that's what they did. So, yeah, it was a little frustrating, I think, as a, you know, for us as a somewhat basketball-educated fans, right? Like, I like to think that we know a little bit. It was just frustrating to see that they didn't really make too many defensive adjustments. I thought they did make some offensive adjustments. But defensively, I just thought they ran out what they usually do. And, you know, maybe that's a good learning moment for Ben. We know he's a freshman. We're taking that into account. Like, we know he's 6'7" and he provides a lot of other things. And right now, just playing man-on-man defense against the top scorer in the A-10 is not his thing. And I hope that the staff starts to realize, like, you know, we don't have a top-level defense that we have had the past, you know, 3 of the past 4 years. To answer your question, James Bishop went off, but some of his other teammates made shots when they had to. I mean, like, you know, we looked down the line and, like, one guy's 7 for 9 shooting, one's 4 for 7, 2 for 2. I mean, one of the guys is 3 for 8, but, like, his teammates made shots as well when they were open.
Oh, absolutely.
Bishop started it all.
Yeah, no, I think some daggers for me were definitely Lindo corner three. I think we got it the game down to 4. Think it was, 70-74. And then Lindo hits a 3 in the corner, and then all of a sudden another 3, and they're up 10 instead of 4. It was kind of a one-man show, but his complimentary pieces were complimentary for sure. This wasn't mm-hmm. – there were a lot of supporting cast members on this team for George Washington that really did it well. Even, like, guys – again, you have two guys here – one starter, Hunter, 2 for 2, and then 3 for 3, and then they were both 3 for 3 from the line. So they put up 7 and 9 points each, both, perfect. They didn't miss a shot, whether from field goal or from the free throw. So having that is a massive uplift. That's 16 points there. So, and 16 points is nearly the ball game, right, if we say they're not efficient as a team. So, yeah, it's crazy to think that it was such a high-scoring affair. And we are, of course, on the losing end, but that's just what happens, I think, when it becomes really critical around being able to defend, but also being able to kind of make stops and really, lock in. I think there were just some of those possessions. There's a bad trip that we talked about in the second half that just really highlights just, like, it was within reach. And it was just sometimes the small things, right? It wasn't like a crazy thing. And again, you mentioned, and I really like it. Like, we think we know what we're saying. And again, we're just also analyzing what we see. So it's tough. I get it. It's just really gut-wrenching when you see 4 points within grasp, right? And then it keeps going away. And then it keeps coming back. And then all it was like a turnover, a hit, like, bottom out free throw, right? It's just mm-hmm. small things. Maybe a quick three, then you didn't really need the quick three, right? So yeah, it's one of those things that this game was such a high scoring affair that I was like, well, what did we do wrong? And it's really defense for sure, and then just tightening up those little things, whether it be free throws, whether it be just the ball movement, kind of rushing it, right? I think there are times where I think Phil was trying to nearly be a one-man show sometimes, and again, I was in awe. When you're first row, right near on the court, you're like, holy cow, this young man is very athletic, and I'm very happy to have him on my team. Like, there's no mm-hmm. doubt in my mind, Buck, that Phil is very athletic, very great guy to have. There were just some times where I'm like, breathe, like, slow down. I almost remembered a Mighty Ducks D2 where the skater is so fast, so crazy, he just doesn't know how to stop. Now, I don't think that's Phil's case because, again, we're playing on hardwood, not ice. But Phil is just so athletic where I think just finding some possessions to collect himself, I really think he can find that benefit just to elevate that game. So, yeah, it's those little things I think also could have turned this game in our favor. But it's already, again, it's always going to be overshadowed by just letting up 97 points. Like, no matter which way we try to slice it, it's just going to be, well, you have to limit a team under a certain amount of points, and 97 isn't that limit for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it shouldn't. It can't be.
It just can't be. Like, yeah. Yeah, it's weird when going into it, you're like, oh, MVC basketball games are 65-60, right? Like, that's the mentality. And yeah. No, it's 87-97, our first ever A-10 conference basketball game. So, yeah, just and again, we can't start comparing MVC games to this and. Oh, well, if we, like, no, like, we're first game in the A-10, we lost. It was a very, very kind of just game and tempo into offense, and just that's what it was. But it is weird to, like, have our kind of recent history be small ball, slow, limit the offense on the opponent. We're going to gut-wrench it out, and then it's like, no, this was high-flying affair. So,
yeah, this is definitely different than what I had envisioned it being. Actually, through two games now. I mean, we can say that, too. Like, it just... I thought the team, like, it was good defensively. You know, I thought they had the pieces. And, of course, we don't have, like, a big, right, to defend, but the paint. But I just thought, like, I thought Braden was solid, undersized, but solid, right? And Marquise, I thought, was a genuinely good defender. So it's just kind of tough to, like, come to these realizations, at least through two games, right? Still a ton of basketball left to be played, but it does kind of seem to be more and more the, the commonplace for this team, at least the average. I kind of just got to thinking, like, I feel like every year or like every, I don't know, recent years, 5-6 years, we say, oh my gosh, we're recruiting so many guards. Like, how do we just like, we just are like so guard heavy and like, man, what, we don't need another guard, right? And then, you know, we look at our box score, and it's like there's really three guards playing. I mean, I know Jaden has been playing and did not really play in this one, but when you look at it, I mean, it's Braden, Marquise, and I don't even know if you can consider Ben a guard. I mean, he's a wing for sure, and he has some guard skills, but, like, this league is such a guard-heavy league. Every team has an excellent guard, whether it's a true point guard or a combo guard or just a shooter. Every team has, in the A-10, has a legitimate scoring guard. And I don't know. I mean, like, I thought we had two. I really do. I still believe in Braden and Marquise to figure things out and have consistently good games. But as of now, they haven't shown it. They haven't shown it yet, really, too often this season, here and there. Marquise, I think, kind of more so than Braden, really. I mean, it's just funny because we talk about it every year. It's like, oh my gosh, there's so many guards. Well, where are they going to play? How are they going to play? And then we're in A-10 play, and, like, three guards are playing. Like, and they're all playing 40 minutes a game, nearly. But that's the problem, too, right? We got to have depth of guards so that our top two and three guys don't have to play so many minutes. So I know it's just kind of a tangent, but
it's one of those things that also I look back, and again, we can talk about the Davidson game just in connection, right? So in my preview, mm-hmm. I really noted that it is a massive reality. I think we as fans need to also realize that 11 players on a 13 scholarship team. Now, again, COVID has opened that to be more. But traditionally, you have 13 scholarship players. So just imagine, but we have 11 guys who had never played a single minute on a court for Loyola basketball last year. And we lost two of probably our best defenders in the last recent years. And again, Ahiru Ugwuoke, I consider him one of the best defenders because he elevated his level. And Lucas Williamson, obviously, again, MVC player of the year, should have been defensive player of the year, won it a handful of times. So, like, the defensive mindset, too, I think has just changed, regardless of guard or big. Because, again, I think you could even say Ben is nearly the height of Ahir, right? Like, they're up there. They're tall, lanky guys.
I think Ben's tall. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, they're the same type of player, if you, I think.
Yeah, well, definitely, I think Ahir has the quicker step, right? But, yeah, so same position kind of player, right? So, like, again, though, like, that didn't – Ahir wasn't that freshman year, right? Again, we could go back to his NIT game, which, again, I don't know wherever that came from, but then we saw senior year from him. So, yeah, I think those are the other things I'm realizing. Like, again, if I scouted George Washington, I would have said they don't make good threes. They're a two-point field goal team, right? They're eighth in the country in two-point percentage, right? And they're 248th in three-point percentage. But in our game, they, let's see, again, 58% from three. So that's 25% better than they normally do. So, like, it's tough for sure. I just don't think, like, we could have given up the three ball and defense would have been maybe better. But we also gave up 64% from field goal. So it's like, it doesn't really matter how you slice it. I think this team is needing to learn how to defend. And whether that's in a game or throughout the season, I think that's just the reality. So, yeah, it's tough. I think offensively we're almost there. Like, we're clicking. Guys are finding ways to score. It's just so being overshadowed by the lack of defense, I think. So, yeah, it's tough, right? Like, I think we can talk about highlights of this game. Marquise Kennedy, for sure a highlight. I wrote in the pregame for Davidson that he is now in his stride. I think over the last – and now, again, I know we just watched the Davidson game, so I'm going to also retract what I'm saying, but I'd have to talk about GW post game. In the last seven games, including GW, he's averaged 14 points or more. He's also shooting 60%. So this game was like, whoa, I got very excited for Marquise Kennedy because I think offensively he could be there, right? He had no turnovers in this George Washington game. Hold that thought for later. So it was a very exciting thing to see. And I'll just take one starter, and then I have to talk about him because I did mention him in the pregame for Davidson. But Bryce Golden off the bench was like, it wasn't like a, oh my God, because I think he has this ability. Again, a starter at Butler, so he was there all 4 years. And I just think him coming off the bench and being efficient. Now, I think defense is a few things there to definitely tighten up for sure. I think the communications on switching and when to step up and when not to step up. And I'm not even talking about taking a charge. That's one of our core program things is take a charge. But when to step up and leave the back, like, baseline wide open for guys to just drive it. I think that's conversations on defense. But Bryce Golden offensively was very interesting and exciting to see. Again, in this GW game, he felt confident to hit a three. His one of one from three. So pretty crazy to see that for sure. But those are kind of two great highlights, I think, offensively from this team for me. Again, there's no way to not mention it. 51% is great. It just, it's a very tough one to talk about when we have the box score of 97 points let up.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, just kind of some of the box score highlights and go over. We talked a little bit about Marquise, 23 points. Like you said, no turnovers, which is huge. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. Super solid day at the office for Marquise. I mean, I just thought he played extremely, extremely well against George Washington. Phil, 21 points, 6 rebounds, and a steal. Did foul out at the end of the game. I thought he kind of started slow in the game, but he found a stride. And like you said, there were the moments where his legs are kind of moving too fast for his body, but he's just so damn athletic and, like, shows that constantly. And he really used that to his advantage. And also 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Dude, love to see that. Ben had 14 points, started off scoring the first 9 for us. Hit a 3, hit a couple, like, mid-range jumper post-move type things. We talked a bit about his struggle on defense, but offensively looked very, very good. Braden, 11 points, 3 of 10 from 3, not really normal for him. I would love to see, you know, a couple of more of those go down, but I thought he took some good shots. I really don't think I had an issue with a lot of his shot selection. And only 2 turnovers, that's probably about, you know, the average or like what you'd like to see from him. So not too bad there either. Like you said, Bryce, 13 points off the bench. Tom, only 2 points, but 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Kind of a weird game for him. I don't know, just didn't feel quite like himself. Couldn't really get going. I mean, George Washington had some really physical bigs, and I think that kind of was tough for him. But hopefully he can learn from that and realize he's quicker than those guys and try to beat him with his quickness. But yeah, Bryce, 13 points off the bench. Just really great. 6 for 6, made his 3-point attempt. Just is fun to watch. I'm really confused why we didn't see it. I mean, I'm not super confused because he didn't do all too well, but I would have loved to have seen him just a little bit more in non-con so that we could have figured some of this stuff out, like we're talking about, how he steps up and sometimes leaves baseline open, communication on defense, stuff like that, where, yeah, if he would have played like maybe 40, 50 more minutes in non-con in some of those games, like, yeah, maybe he figures some of that stuff out a little earlier, but that is looking at it with hindsight, right? So
That's a really good point. Something to segue off that from this game, and I think it will lead me into Davidson. So my really last point on George Washington was just lack of kind of complete bench usage. Again, Bryce definitely has a complete usage with 14 minutes and also 13 points. Maybe could have benefited from more. I don't know. Saint, a weird 11. I'm going to say it, right? Didn't feel like he was like really finding, I guess, the collective, but he found the back end of a 3, which was great. I just don't think he really had enough minutes to turn that all into like solid stretch. But weird to see Jaden and Jalen not get minutes. I don't know if this was like a getting over your sickness thing. This, again, that was a while ago, but again, them not playing in the Stanford game, we would hope maybe to see more. I think that's just a question mark I have really after the George Washington game is like, are we going to use the bench during conference play? Like, I think we're going to need to when we have literal games, and I'm taking also a play out of my own pregame review. We have games days apart. Like, we're not going to have games a week apart now. We've had this nice 3-week stretch of like a game almost every week because of finals and the holiday and everything. But now it's games within 3 days, and it's games within maybe 2 days, right? Because I know there's that Friday night game sometimes the A-10 has, so I'll have to look at the schedule. But, Buck, is that something you're looking forward to as the bench? Because I think that was something that we'll get into with the Davidson game for sure.
Yeah, let's go ahead and just move on, and we can talk just from the get-go about their bench. I want them to figure it out, and I know that's much easier said than done. I think we thought the things we thought we knew aren't really true, and the things we didn't think we knew, we now know. I hope that made sense.
Good thing we're not coaches. I think that's the bottom right. line. That's the bottom line. Good thing we're not coaches.
What I mean to say is, like, I thought for sure our bigs were going to be the issue, right? I thought, like, the big rotation was kind of strange, and, like, man, we're asking Tom to do a lot, and where's Huddy, and Bryce isn't playing all that much. And now it's like, okay, yeah, I mean, like, give Tom 20 minutes, give Bryce 20 minutes. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at this point. Maybe, you know, it's really matchup dependent, but Bryce just had another great game off the bench, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 6-8 shooting, a couple turnovers, and probably a few too many fouls, which probably kept him on the bench a little bit more. But, I just thought Bryce had a great game. And then, you know, on that, really the only guy that got significant minutes off the bench other than Bryce was Jaden Dawson. I wasn't able to watch the game, but I did see some people talking about his hustle, and like, I think he has good fundamentals. I really do. I mean, same with Jalen. I think they both have good fundamentals. I think Jaden fits the need of the team a little bit more right now, and that's like shooting and athleticism. Those guys, sure, I just don't want to have a bench that's only 2 deep. Saint is, I know he has it in him. It's if this is this is a bummer. I really think truly for me, Saint not, I don't know, not being the Saint we thought he could be is probably the biggest bummer for me in this whole season. And that's saying a lot. It's in there. I know he has it. I don't know. I'm sure he's got a lot of people telling him a lot of different things. I think he's just got to get back to fundamentals, play solid defense, grab some rebounds, and be a good passer, and the other stuff is going to come to him. So, I mean, he's only a sophomore, and really did not play all that much last year, so there's still time for him to figure it out, but I just thought he would pick it up a little bit quicker. So, yeah, now that we've...
Yeah, no.
Go for it.
No, I think you're right. I think the toughest thing is to see, like, again, we didn't see too many jerseys out in the George Washington game that weren't the starters. And then now we see in the Davidson game, we'll just get into it. With the Davidson game, we're going to see a lot of guys. Even the bench came in that are walk-ons because of the result. Really just it is something that I think is crucial. Regardless of you not seeing the game or not, I watched it. I'll also admit I sadly turned it off. I had to do chores, and with under 5 minutes, it was 20 points down. I'll have to look at KenPom so I can call myself out. KenPom does have a metric if it's like completely out of the way, no way of coming back, or if there is. But for the bench guys that not Bryce Golden in this Davidson game, but Jaden and Jalen, watching them get decent minutes again was something like I got excited. Now, again, are there things to fine-tune? Yes. Like, Jaden didn't have a single bucket in this Davidson game. Well, Jalen had 5 points, right? Like, I'm not comparing them to be like, oh, one's going to be a better offense and one's better defense. I just think having them out there is great. Like, that's just the bottom line. It's just going to be – you bring up Bryce. I wish he played more in non-con. I just wish that some of the minutes were consistent. Now, I get it and respect it that there are going to be times that – we're going to have to, like, not pull on the jersey and get the bench guys off, but we're going to have to really just, like, hunker down with the starters because it might be a tight contested game. I get that, right? Like, Braden might be having a hot game. So I really do think that it's more that when we can, we have that. I think tonight with Davidson, it was really tough to try to call out that guy's number and be like, who's going to guard Foster Lawyer in the second half, because Jaden tried to, Braden tried to, a whole bunch of guys tried to, and it just really didn't seem to click in the second half. So I think having the bench though find these opportunities is going to be crucial, because again, like I said in the pregame, we have a game in what, 2 days, maybe what, I guess if we're talking time, Saturday. Under 72 hours, right? Yeah. Like there's this game, like we have to put this game behind us, this Davidson game, take the film and just be like, okay, here we go. Because guys are going to have to be ready to step up. The next guy mentality is going to be crucial in the conference play. And something we even said out just to each other, we have, what, more than half the season left? Is that still correct?
Just about, yeah.
Just about. I think we have, like, half our season of games left. I think it's 15, right? Yeah, because we're 6 and
8.
No, I don't. Yeah, so I think we have 16 or 15 games left. I can't do math right now.
16.
But, yeah, I think that's the crazy thing is, like, to be like, whoa, we have so much of our season left. We could turn things around, and I honestly think the bench productivity could do that for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, speaking of getting those guys in and seeing the different jerseys, we do have we would be remiss to not talk about the best merchandise provider, and that is Mini Jerseys. We actually just got some new stuff this past week, and I wore my Blairs hoodie the other day. It is the maroon hoodie, and I love it. It's great. It's a good layer, too. Like, if, you know, those cold winter days, like, layer up and support the team with the Blairs hoodie. Lou, I know you got a couple shirts. What were those shirts again?
Yeah, a really nice black Blairs with the Chicago kind of stars on it, right? And then another interesting I noticed the other day, it has Loyola Basketball on the bottom, but another Our City kind of shirt. Again, if you haven't been clear, I went with the whole kind of City Loyola theme for sure. Very nice. I kind of like the glossiness on it. Fits well. Just be careful. Just sometimes some of the stuff you might want to check out everything you got, because even I was like, oh, hey, I'm excited to look at this new kind of style. So I think it's not just jerseys. The jerseys are great. I love them. Your hoodie looked great. So there's so much, and even myself, I was shocked and very happy, and I'm excited to get more for sure.
Yeah, I would definitely, as a TM Husky brother, I would recommend going up a size. Usually like XL, but I know that 2X fits, and I got a 2X shirt, and I went up to the 3X. So just for little tips and tricks for people trying to get some stuff, I would just go up that extra size. It's just worth it. But yeah, that is Mini Jerseys with a Z, minijerseys.com. Make sure to check them out and tell them we sent you. But yeah, back to the stuff.
Yeah.
Back to the games. Go ahead. Do you have some more?
Yeah,
points?
Well, let's just kind of cover. So Davidson, as we're recording right after the game, Davidson found a way to take us to our first A-10 road game, and they routed us 80-57. A very contested first half, 30-33. We fought our way back with having double-digit turnovers, so I think that was really kind of hats off to the team for not giving up in the first half. I think this easily could have turned into Stanford first half where we just kind of let them walk on us, and we didn't. Sadly, though, the second half, we let them just kept stepping on the pedal and going. Davidson put up 47-27 in the second half and didn't really look back, especially under leadership of Foster Lawyer. That guy knows how to score when he's told to go out and score. Hats off to him. I really was shocked. But, yeah, there's going to be some highlights for sure to talk about, very similar to the GW game. And I say that because giving up 80-plus points is not something we can need to do on a regular basis. I don't even care about the margin being 23. I really don't. It's the fact that we just giving up 80 points. Kind of a similarity to our other losses much in the season. I mean, I think besides Harvard and I don't know, I think even DePaul, I think, was under 80. But besides those two games, I think roughly almost any other game was an 80 more, 75 more. So, yeah, it's a tough one to watch. A really competitive first half, but I think the second half, I know, Buck, you didn't watch it. But from our discussions, what do you think kind of what do you think this team just did it just fall apart, or was Foster Lawyer, you think, maybe just too much?
You know, I was just surprised. Like, I saw a lot of people talking about how physical we were playing in the first half, and how I think it was actually Roll Blurs who tweeted, like, if we play a physical throughout the second half and the refs aren't calling it, like, we might be able to sneak one, like, to sneak a win out here. And, you know, I was following along for the first few minutes in the second half, and Bryce had a great, like, opening to the second half, and, you know, we were within four or so. And I was like, okay, like, let's keep it close. Let's see what happens, right? Like, you know, crazy things happen all the time, and keep it close, and we can sneak one out. And it just was so surprising to me that it just completely got away. I mean, like, yeah, 19 or 21 turnovers, whatever it was. It's 6 from Marquise, man, like 5 from Tom. It's just, like, yeah, you could see 5 from a guard, and the ball's always in his hands. But, man, like, Tom, I know he's had a pretty good year. I think he's played a lot more than any of us thought he would. But as a senior, you cannot let that happen. It just can't happen. It's just not acceptable. Same with Marquise. I mean, I'm sure he'll tell you, or he would tell anyone, like, this can't happen. Like, I'm better than this, and he is. We know he is. I mean, we just got done talking about how he's had 7 really good games in a row, and I was writing about it in my pregame too. Like, his turnover numbers were good too. I mean, I think as of, like, before George Washington, he had 7 turnovers in 6 games or something. Like, very solid numbers, and not just, like, his shooting percentages were good, but he wasn't turning the ball over either. And 6 turnovers is just, again, it's just not good enough. You know, it's still wild to me that, like, you know, Braden's playing 35 minutes in a game like this, like Ben playing 31 minutes. You know, I know he had a few good shots and was grabbing some rebounds and stuff, but I also know that he was getting burned occasionally on defense again. And, like, that's just, you know, I don't know. I can't see why the staff isn't changing some stuff up in that regard. Said, I mean, I didn't watch it, but it just, I was surprised we didn't continue the physical play. And that, I think, was a bit of a problem for me, a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, I think right off the bat, just you mentioned the two biggest players who accumulated more than half of our turnovers. So Tom with 5, Marquise with 6. 5 of 6 of Marquise's turnovers were in the first half. So really collected himself in the second half, which is amazing. It just makes you think, holy cow, what could have happened in the first half, right? So that's the toughest one, I think, for me. He had 2 turnovers alone in the first minute and a half, I'm pretty sure. Throwing the ball over, honestly. Now, granted, we benefited from our 3 turnovers in the first minute and a half. Davidson had 2. In the first 3 minutes, we had 4. They had 3. So in the beginning, we were almost complimentary, which was crazy basketball to watch for sure. I think Tom's 2 of them in the first half were offensive fouls. So tough. Again, I think he's trying to be really strong down low. That's just the bottom line. Like, Tom is trying to compete. I just think they were really calling offensive fouls tonight, both sides. So I don't think that foul, like that type of foul, was kind of just out of the blue. They looked like they were looking for it, honestly. We kept getting it on our end, and we kept getting called on our end as well. So both sides. So, yeah, I think the turnovers really just is a weird thing to see. There's even a play, and this is like the summary of like how weird to see Tom have 5 turnovers, and especially even Marquise, who, like we mentioned, for those who remembered, had 0 in the George Washington game, right? So I think Tom even had a pass from Jaden or Jalen underneath, and he was wide open, perfect position, and then just, like, dropped the ball as he went up. Like, it almost looked like a receiver or even a baseball player, like, just or any person just playing a sport was, like, they just left without the ball. Like, that's just what it was. And it was just tough because that was a play, and then there's one bad turnover he had that we're going to be writing in the books besides Tom stepped as for the inbound, he stepped out. Before he tossed the ball, he was going to just one of those quick little passes to Braden, but someone was on Braden, so Tom kind of like hesitated, and instead of coming back, his foot was already on the court. So that was a tough one. Another even turnover, maybe they gave it to Tom or I think they gave it to Marquise. We got called for 10 seconds. We didn't even get across the court because you probably didn't see that, so I don't know. No. unless you saw a tweet. Yeah, we got called our first possession. We got, or maybe the second possession, we got called for like 10 seconds. Because we didn't even get across, so, and it was not even like on, in my opinion, an intensive pressure, but it was a full court press, I guess you could say, and we just didn't know how to kind of break it off. So, yeah, beginning was a struggle for sure, but we fought back in the first half. Like, there's no denying it. I'm pretty sure Davidson had the lead close to double digits at one point for sure. I think they were hovering around 8 to 9. But then we just went on a run and brought it within. We even took the lead, I believe. Did we take the lead? Maybe I think we always just tied it. I think that's what the issue. I think we always so that was a tough one to watch that. But it was great to see, honestly. Really great to like not kind of just let the lead get out of hand. And that's what the first half was. Another tale of two halves. And then the second half, Foster Lawyer decided to play basketball, and he just took it right to our faces. So that's how I summarize the second half, Buck. Ask questions if you have them, since you didn't see. The box score kind of says it, honestly. The turnovers were all first half, honestly. Still a lot in the second half. I believe if 5 of Marquise's were in the first half, and I think Tom had 4, that's still 9. And then, so I think we still had double digits in the second half. But, it's a different ball game if you hold the ball. It was a tough second half for sure.
Yeah. I just, you know, I keep waiting for things to turn. And I do think that, like, I think we've discussed enough to this point to tell listeners and tell each other, too, like, This team isn't as good as we thought it would be, at least at this point. Like, I don't think there's any way we can, like, escape that. I mean, 6-8 is not where we thought we would be. Some of our losses most of our losses, we've gotten our tails kicked. I mean, like, 20-plus point losses, at least 4 of them now. I think we're all kind of going through a state of shock a little bit. I'm pretty darn surprised that this has been the results overall. I don't think it's a lack of talent. And so that's the thing that keeps bringing me back, is it is not a lack of talent that is stopping this team right now. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lack of some communication. It's a lack of just the amount of time they've played together. We've mentioned that with it being 11 new guys. And I do still think it is a lack of just lack of luck in shooting. I still think this team is a better shooting team than they've shown. And now we're going on half the season, and that's a significant amount of data points to show maybe they're not. But I do think this team is a better shooting team. But the problem is, since they don't have a dominant big or a dominant guard that gets to the hoop so often, that teams don't have to worry about that as much. They don't have to double someone in the post and lead to open shooters. They're going to have to, I think, come up with some more creative ways to get open shots. And that might mean installing some new plays or, bringing some out that they haven't brought out in a while. I think the thing is, because the talent is there, it could at any point turn. And that's what keeps bringing me back, is like, I'm hopeful because the talent is there that one of these days, or one of these weeks, we'll string three games where we win by an average of 18 points, right? Over three games. And I'm hopeful that we can just get to the A-10 tournament, and maybe those three games are in Brooklyn and we can find ourselves in a championship game. And anything can happen in one basketball game. So, I would say my bit of advice is try your best to enjoy as much as you can, right? We're not going to be as good as some of these past teams we've seen, three tournaments and multiple tournament championship games. There's still some, these guys are still working their asses off every day. I just saw today, actually, Trace Jackson Davis on Indiana shared a tweet, a letter he was not supposed to read, or that Indiana wasn't going to let him read, but he asked for it. And it was just a fan basically crapping on Trace Jackson Davis, who is an incredible basketball player. And he showed it, and he was just they don't know that we're working every day. And we are trying to be better, right? And just don't be that fan, is what I'm saying. Don't be those people. I don't think we have any. I haven't seen anyone like that, but try your best to enjoy the games. If you feel like you can't spend your money there, I get that, right? That's your most powerful move, is don't show up to games. But these guys, I think, deserve our attention and our appreciation, because I do think they're still working their tails off. And that kind of ends my monologue, but I'm just trying to find the important monologue stuff still.
It's not a I think it's a completely different team. We shouldn't be surprised if we potentially see a losing record. I think the goal for sure should be not trying to play Tuesday. I think we've learned that it's called the pillow fight. Not something I think I want to have our program attached to. But again, though, even if you play Tuesday, you got to write your own story. Last year, we were the fourth seed. People wrote us out because we were the fourth seed, right? You win three straight games and you're in. That's just what it was. Because I honestly don't know if we would have gotten that large bid last year, right? Automatically, this year is we have to win the conference tournament. We are not getting that large bid. At this point, there's no reckoning. There's just none. So the benefit, though, is I also would like to compete in the A-10. So with having more than having 50% of our games left, because we're 6-8, so 14. Yeah, we have 16 games left. So I think if we could go, 9-7 would be great. I think that would put us at 9-7 would put us at a .500 record. I'll do 9-7. That's exciting, right? What I think, though, is, and I'm looking here just for reference, right? Like, the George Mason game, I'm using KenPom, right? If you're a Jim Boeheim fan, I know he hates KenPom, so don't listen. But KenPom has this losing to George Mason by 8, VCU by 4, St. Joseph by 1, and jeez, then St. Louis by 4. Like, even St. Louis, he has this losing by 4. That's 4 straight games after these 3-game skid that are all manageable, right? It's so, like, this conference is a we fit into this conference as a current team very well, and we can all go back to the Clemson game. I think I'm done with going back to the Clemson game as our, like, saving grace because we just have too many bad games. But, like, any bit of, I don't know, highlights you see, if we could put a consistency to that, whether it be 51% offense or defense locking in, I think that's a key. I don't know. It's weird to say. I think the bottom line and this Davidson game highlights it. The turnovers, I think, are just the plague that has just kept us in a drought of winning so far. It's crazy to think, but honestly, we're fifth to last in turnovers per game. So I think there's only like 4 other teams behind us. 5 other teams behind us who have more turnovers per game than we do, which is absolutely crazy to think. But that's just kind of where we're at, right? So I think the Davidson game is really interesting to watch. Like, we fought so much in the first half, and the second half just kind of collapsed. So it's tough. Really not a good taste in anyone's mouth. I think coaches, staff, to players. But very, very interesting to see what we can do with 16 games left. I'm not going to call it the wake-up call. I'm just saying, hey, we got 16 games. We cannot harp on, oh, what if we won this? What if it, like, we have a 6-8 record. That's what it is. Our goal should be 16 games, and that's what it is right now. Like, we're not going to be looking at a resume. Honestly, I would be very shocked unless we go 16-0. So I think the biggest thing will be the idea of we're 0-0 right now, and there's 16 games left, right? Our first game of the new year, we had a loss and a very bad one, so we got to just keep moving forward. It's the next game mentality, right? Mm-hmm. And we haven't said it too much this year, but I really do not care how we win. Like, I don't care if we just have to find a way to win. And then whether it be one of our 3 main keys, whether it be, again, shooting and still having horrendous, like, we could shoot 70%, which would be crazy, and have 20 turnovers and win. It's going to be an ugly game. I'm going to hate it, but we win, right? And that's not something we used to say a lot, and I still want to hold it. I think this team deserves it. Just win, baby. And I think I don't care how we win anymore. This season needs to be kind of fought like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of just got like one last thought, and it's like after watching a good amount of Miles Rubin play as high school ball, like I just really want him to be on the team now. I'd love to have that kind of rim protector, even if he doesn't know how to do like really anything else at the college level. It would just like having that would be, I think, a big game changer for this team. That's what they need. I mean, on the defensive end, that's what they seem to need to help them out a little bit. So, yeah, I don't know. Just a random thought. But we'll have them next year and pretty much have everyone back if everyone decides to stay. So that could be something that we see. Yeah. Any last thoughts from you, Lou?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is we talk about Miles. I think this team is also young. It's crazy to think, but Phil Alston's got, what, technically 2 years. Jacob Hudson's got 2 more years as well. There are guys on this team that have so much more time, and it's just, like, it's exciting. And I think it's also, this is our first year in the A-10. Teams, like you brought up, you need a good guard. I think we have a good guard. I just think sometimes we put too much maybe on his shoulders. I don't know. I definitely don't like that he plays 40 minutes a game, but if he's healthy and he wants to do it, go right ahead. So I think we're also learning, right? I think it's beneficial. Last year we knew the teams we played with very well. We knew how to go up against them. We knew even the players very well, right? We don't have that advantage or even just on the same playing field with some of these guys. So yeah, like Foster Lawyer, you can talk about the box score. James Bishop, you could talk about his stats. But then when you start playing against them and maybe your scouting just does not go to plan, that's when you just got to learn. And when we have two games against a team, be better prepared the second game. I think that's also when it comes to a new conference and new kind of teams we're playing. Miles is I'm very still excited for Miles. I'm not gonna not add to that for sure, but I'm also excited with the group we got. It's one of those things.
It's just a stray thought, that's all it is. And
I think he is technically the highest recruit we've had technically in, I don't know, recruiting ratings, so I think also that's making us a little giddy, if I had to be honest. So
I think that's all I got. So I don't know, I mean, we got a couple more games coming up. I mean, it's two every week now. So we said it last week. I'm hoping we really do get back to our normal Monday night, Tuesday morning type recordings, or posting of the episode at least. So this week was just strange again. It's been a strange few weeks for all of us, I think. So keep on the lookout for that. That's all I got. Lou, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I think just keep strong. We have 16 games left. That's what I'm going to really look at it. We're 0-0 right now, and I'm going to be very excited what we got for these 16 games. But, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, my only thought is try to find something other than Loyola and get some, you know, find a different hobby. I know I'm going to be trying to focus on a lot of things that aren't Loyola until game time comes around.
No. Yeah.
I can't be thinking about sad thoughts all the time.
Yeah, well, think about the good thoughts. I don't know. There's a lot.
I'm just playing.
Yeah. We did book our flights though. Or book your tickets. Yes. We're heading to the tournament in March. It's crazy to think we're in 2023. So those of you still listening to this episode, hope to see you there. I think Buck and I are going to chat offline and maybe put together some things. Hopefully we'll be there in presence. So
that's a good thing to think about. Cool. Well, that's gonna do it here from Buck and Lou at Podcast 63. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, always remember, go Blairs.